Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for the Bobby Eaton Show, giving you information you want to know and music for your soul. It's the Bobby Eaton Show.
It's time for the Bobby Eaton Show, giving you information you'll want to know, speaking on issues affecting us all, and music for the soul.
Yeah.
It's the Bobby Eaton Show.
Bobby.
It's the Bobby Eaton Show.
Bobby.
It's the Bobby Eaton Show.
Bobby.
It's the Bobby Eaton Show.
Okay. All right. Hey, sorry for the technical difficulties, but hey, we're back on the air right now. And the topic is the violence in Virginia. You know, that's what's going on right there. So, hey, you can call and dial that number 646-716-5525. And don't forget to press that one button.
Yes.
Yeah. Hey, we're all back on here. Yeah.
You need to call in and tell us how you feel about what's going on in Charlottesville, Virginia. I know it's really as
it's crazy.
It's been a ticking time bomb. We know that some of the premise and some of the standards in which Donald Trump stood on, but people still elect him to be president. I do believe that he was a when it came to this fire, he was the kerosene which helped ignite it. I can't blame him directly for their actions, but we all know that he was some of the statements and some of the misogynistic statements that he was making was very crucial. You know, some of the childish things he's been doing. And now we're at a position where I am happy to see. I'm very sad about what happened to Heather. Her life was taken tragically when she was doing something in her legal right to protest. And a man drove so many hours just to plunge into a crowd. I mean, he had plenty of time to think about and change his course of action.
That was crazy,
and
wasn't
he continued.
It, man?
Oh,
that was
yeah.
insane.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And
to take that young lady,
very insane.
Young lady's life was just despicable.
Yeah, it was. You know, you got some hateful, cruel people, you know, here in this world that have no regards for life, and they'll do whatever. They don't even care.
They don't.
You know, they don't even care. You know, so that's...
They don't care, and like
they don't care.
Like Mario was saying, Trump, he based his whole campaign on subliminal hatred. It was, let's make America great again. We all know, us as black folk, we all know what that meant. Because like I said, America's already great, but they want it to be not make America great again. They want to make America white again. Baby.
I don't really think America's great, if you ask me.
Well, you know what
I
mean. I mean that in the context of
the
world.
I think that's a facade that the media puts out there to make you think that. There are other countries that don't have as much crime rate as we do, no much as incarceration. You know, we the number one country with incarceration.
That's right.
We pay high. We pay high taxes. You know, we got so much going on. We got homeless people on the streets. And there's some countries, hey, they get free health care. They don't pay taxes.
That's
the
right.
The government takes care of them. Mm-hmm. And they living okay and they're laughing and having fun.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, and, you know, but, you know, we're the greatest country. But, see, we don't want to mess with China and those countries like that. You know, because they got their military base and all of that. You know, we can't win a war with them, I don't think. You know, so.
And I'm really, some of those supporters, some of these pastors, me being a pastor, mm-hmm. that really supported him, and these people are on YouTube saying that Donald Trump is the best candidate. They're quiet as a church mouse right now.
You know,
they're not saying a lot
they
of things.
They are quiet except for what's his name, Duke. What's his name?
David Duke.
David Duke.
Well, he's a
Klansman.
Straight out. He's a Klansman.
I know that, but
so.
He came straight out and said, "We white people put you in office, Trump."
Yeah, he said that.
And we are you know supporting your agenda. Blah 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 blah. And then when he made that little half, you know what I want to say,
statement
about
everybody,
you know,
in other
everybody
words.
In many ways, you know, it's despicable, but in many ways, it's by many groups or whatever he said. And as he was walking off, two of the news people that were there, media, said, "Well, are you accepting support from these supremacist groups and are you not going to say anything?" And he just kept on walking.
Yeah.
He just kept on walking.
Mm-hmm. And the people I'm talking about are the African-Americans that were supporting him. I remember it was a group.
Yeah.
I forget the two ladies that
you
were.
You have some.
Diamond and
They were
comedian types.
And so I'm wondering, what are they saying right now? That people
They got their money and gone, child.
Yeah. People
are getting killed. Well, you know, some people are sold out to the system.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like some, you know how some pastors in the church, no offense to you
but
how they just do anything that the pastor say and they, whatever his platform, man, they're just going to go with it.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of people like that with Trump.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to go with whatever he say, whether he's right or wrong.
And I tell people right and right is wrong. But what I'm seeing, Bobby and Sansaray, I'm seeing, have you ever met someone that seem like they can control you, and once they started to lose control of you, they lost control of themselves.
Yeah,
I'm starting to see that with the system that's saying, okay, the life as I know it, my life as my white privilege as I know it is now being taken away.
Right.
The people that feel like that, because I have a lot of white friends. It's racist at that time, but
yeah.
I have a lot of white friends.
And have you noticed it's mostly young white men?
Yeah,
they are not. They can't handle it.
Yeah, it's been taken from us, and so you're taking the very essence of what America was about. And so you had a black president. Now it's our time again, and you guys are trying to take everything. Here it is. Robert E. Lee was a staunch racist.
That's what he was.
Murderer. I mean, and you want to keep him as a symbol of a place that's supposed to be about. And that's why then you bring the Pledge of Allegiance to play. You know, the Pledge of Allegiance is a blatant lie.
Justice for all.
It wasn't even written for us.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America
and to the
republic for which it stands,
one nation under God,
all right,
indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And
right,
I tell you another
big lie.
I tell you another ironic thing. Charlottesville, Virginia, is about 48,000 people, and their motto is a great place for our citizens to live.
Really?
Well, it ain't so great right now.
But then again, a lot of those protesters were not from Charlottesville.
Yeah.
They were from surrounding areas, just like the little guy, the James Fields, who plowed and killed a young woman.
But he wasn't from there.
Eight hours away, he took a drive, and they interviewed his mom, and his mom was like, "Well, I knew he was going to a rally, but I thought it was just some kind of Trump rally. I didn't."
You know, when she said that, I said, "It don't take you. I think it was an 8-hour drive.
Yeah,
it don't take you 8 hours to get that crazy. You've been crazy for a while.
You've been crazy for a while.
He went with those intentions of doing something.
Yeah.
Oh yeah,
and like so many others, he's not the only one.
He just
acted on his.
He's a Dylan Roof.
Yeah, right.
He's a Dylan Roof.
He fits right with him.
He's a roof. All this. And so you have these people. And so when I read that statement, it said a great place for our citizens to live. And I'm like, wow. And how ironic, it's a great place for our citizens to live. So when you say citizen, I think about diversity and a melting pot. However, Robert E. Lee stands in your downtown. A person who was against any type of diversity.
Right,
and your motto says, a great place for our citizens to live. And so what's happening now?
But when they say citizens, it's not including you.
Okay.
People of color.
Yeah.
You're talking about white citizens.
Yeah. And so it's a lot of change. I remember years ago, I'm from Fort Worth, Texas. In 1991, I believe, it was a school called Southwest High School. And one day during a pep rally, they raised the rebel flag. And it's like an awakening happening. And the people that's listening to me on Facebook remember this. Southwest High School in Fort Worth, Texas, in 1991, I believe. 1990. And they raised the rebel flag, the Confederate flag.
Oh, really?
And what happened was, it's like an awakening. You had a percentage of probably about 35% African Americans and Hispanics and Asians. And even some whites said, this is bull. And they turned to an all-out brawl, to where they had to get in the military, police officers. I mean, people were getting hurt, and they actually had to change the name of that school. It's called Southwest High School Raiders now.
Wow.
And they changed the whole flag because it took some young people to look at that flag raised to the roof, and they were like, wait a minute.
That ain't
right. This is like the 90s.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So you're starting to see that now. Yep. You still have many people, especially in Columbia, South Carolina, that
still
are rebels.
Well, they were talking about it on the news this morning, how a lot of government officials and mayors of cities who have those emblems and those statues of Robert E. Lee are considering taking them down.
Yes.
Yeah,
right now, since all this
is
happening.
The truth is coming out.
The truth is coming
out.
It's showing up.
I just want to interject.
Yeah,
real
for sure.
Good friend of mine, Charles Freeman, who is out in Cali, he Facebooked and said, white people at work today are being really friendly. I wonder why.
Yeah, because racism is alive and kicking.
And they know it. And there's no hiding it anymore.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know what really got me about all this? All white people fighting each other.
Yeah.
Now that was something to see.
What it shows me, that
is something to see.
I see the consciousness of my white brothers and sisters has been awakened. I believe a lot of them have been sitting on the sideline saying, this is messed up, but I'm just going to play my cards. Then finally, it's okay, enough is enough.
Right.
This is continuing to happen. Mm-hmm. All this stuff happened with police and all these different things, man. And so people are taking a stand. And so I don't want to call it anarchy.
Yeah.
But it is somewhat of a rebellion of the American system in which we know it, and how we've been taught,
Yes.
From from the blatant lies of Christopher Columbus discovering America.
Exactly. And the one of the most important jobs of the president of these United States, when things like this happen, when chaotic things or disaster or anything happen, it is part of his portfolio to be able to come out and unify the country.
Yeah.
He did the exact opposite.
Yeah,
he came out and just
had
to, you know, it was like he was so sympathetic with the alt-right and the white supremacists, and you know, didn't really trying to say many it's many people's or how did he put it? Is
there are many. What do you say? There are many wrongs.
Many wrongs.
Many sides.
Yeah, many sides.
Are
you
serious?
Well, see, he had to do it because David Duke, despite my disdain for him, told the truth. Said we didn't want to put you in here.
Right.
He kind of put it on blast.
Yeah, sure did.
There probably was some secret meetings with them.
Oh, yeah.
So David put him on blast. Said, "What you gonna say? We put you up in there, boy."
Yeah. It was close to three.
David
three
might
to four
have took
million
a little payola
people.
Or something.
Yeah.
You know,
but it was also close to 3 to 4 million people who voted for Clinton.
Yeah.
Yes.
The electoral vote is how he got in.
Yeah, the electoral vote.
It
yeah.
wasn't the popular vote.
Yeah.
So that tells you right there. He can talk. He can throw up that red. What is he? He throws up the country, and all the red is there, here, there, and there. Well, you know what? You know, that's
electoral. What
it only,
it's
buddy.
What elects a president.
Yeah.
I think they should change that. You know, I think they should do
every
away
major
with
city
that.
Is having a protest in regards to this Charlottesville thing.
Yeah. And
New York, L.A., Chicago, everywhere.
And one of my
mostly
things,
white folks.
I want to know these people. Like I said, I'm going back to this because it really did disturb me. These African Americans and that were supporting him.
Yes.
I want to see what are you going to say now? What are you going to say now? What is your rebuttal? What are you going to say now? You got paid off, like Sansa said. You got paid off. You cool now.
Mm-hmm.
But what are you
going
to say now when you see people getting hurt?
Yes.
Because of this type of rhetoric. Yes.
Yeah.
Killed. This type of
two
rhetoric.
Two troopers.
Losing
just
their
said
lives.
Troopers killed.
Yeah. You know.
Yeah. With the helicopter accident.
The helicopter.
It was
too.
Behind the Charlottesville thing. Come on now.
That's why.
You know,
so,
it just doesn't
make
any sense at all. I would very much be interested in knowing what is on their minds myself, especially the two young ladies,
the diamond
and pearls or whatever.
Oh,
you're
not going to hear from them.
Oh.
No.
They're going to be
talking all
that
smack.
They like a chess cat right now. That's hush hush.
Yeah.
You know,
and
I heard Omarosa got into a big argument with a news anchor guy, Ed Gordon.
Yeah.
They had some, I saw it on TMZ. They were arguing
about what?
About things going on in Trump. You know,
just taking up for him.
Well,
huh?
You know, she's going to defend him.
Oh, yeah.
To his underwear. So you know how that goes.
Yeah, because she getting paid.
I'm
gonna leave that alone.
Yeah, that's a whole nother.
Yeah.
It makes you wonder, huh?
Yeah.
Like I say, right is right, wrong is wrong. I remember when some of these pastors were supporting Trump, and they were justifying certain things that he was saying. And I was like, how can you be a man of God, read the word of God that talks about equality, that talks about fairness and love and support him, and then use different things to say that what you're doing is right? And I actually watched that, and I actually confronted on my Facebook page some of my evangelical friends that had so much anger towards Barack Obama, and then they would have on their Trump hats. And I said, okay. I understand that the Bible has a color, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Because
right
is right, is wrong is wrong. And I will be honest with you. I didn't agree with every policy and everything that Barack Obama put into place.
Yeah, me too.
You know what I'm saying? So sometimes I say, I don't agree with that. But when you start to agree with someone and it is built on hate.
Hate
begets hate. There's no way you get love from
that's
that.
Right.
And,
no, you don't get love from hate because, you know, to hate someone, that's a hell of a word.
Yeah.
Hate. I hate you.
It is not something. Prejudice, hate, racism. It's something we are not born with. People, human beings are not born with that. They are taught that.
Yeah.
They are taught
it's
that.
It's a learned behavior.
It's a learned behavior.
Yes, it's a learned
behavior.
So,
you know, and we know it all stems from the dinner table, the white folks.
Well,
you know,
you can take some babies. Some little 1-year-old, 2-year-olds, and you can put them out in the playground of various different colors and racist. And they can play on the playground with each other and everything until one of the parents go over there and say, you don't play with him. He's black. Why? Why, mommy? Why, daddy?
Yeah, why?
Why? He's my friend.
Because you're better than they are.
Yeah.
Well, they did that back in slave days, you know what I mean, when the kids played, you know.
And like I say, people, they're taught this. This is something that is that people are teaching. And like I said, I hate to keep going back to biblical foundation, but like I said, it's a lot of pastors and ministers that are not saying anything. And if I'm not mistaken, Jesus was against injustice.
Right.
Yep.
You know, he spoke against the powers that be when they were doing things that were not right.
That's right.
And so, but I have a lot of, like I say, a lot of ministerial friends that are quiet. They're not saying anything.
Speaking of being quiet,
black and white.
We just had a community festival this past Saturday, right?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see too many pastors out there at all. you know, I didn't see no pastors, no church clergy, or nobody. None of them in the community. Nobody, man. I saw nobody out there at that festival. Think about it. None of the big churches or nobody, I don't want to call no names because I will call you out, but they weren't there at all with their congregations or giving out nothing or helping nobody do nothing. And that's so much of truth. And so I say to myself, how can you say you're a man of God, you know what I mean, and you want to serve the people, and you got all these community events going on in your community and stuff, and people
you don't show up.
And you don't show up at none of them. You don't stop by and drop off a turkey.
Mm-hmm. Nope.
You know, a paper towel.
But they want all the accolades when they're doing something.
You know, and that's what has me disturbed with a lot of churches.
Yeah.
You know, because they don't give the work and the needs of the people
like they used to.
They just give the needs of their church and their community. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, brother Jones, you got a light bill? Okay, I might pay it for you.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, and that's it.
But I was
you're a good tither.
Exactly.
Yeah. I would say that definitely the responsibility of the church is to also deal with the community and understand the plight of the community and also try to meet as many needs as they can. That's why I tell people
they do not show up. That's why the churches are not growing, because young people are seeing through that foolishness and that non-participation in the community.
Yeah, well,
they're seeing it and they're saying, man, look, I can't sit up under a man who ain't going to do nothing to help nobody.
Yeah.
That's not what Jesus did.
No, the millennials especially.
Oh, the millennials.
Especially
they're calling us out. They're
putting you on Front Street.
Yeah, they're telling us, hey, what are you going to do? You know, this is happening in the community. What is your part? Now, we understand that every church cannot solve every ill in the community. And we're talking about racism on the Bobby Eaton Show and the Charlottesville, Virginia tragedy. But we know that every church cannot. But if one church said, we're going to address homelessness, this church said, we're going to deal with the gang problem, we're going to deal with the drugs, we're going to deal with getting people jobs. A lot of the things that we're facing in the community would probably be a minimal if we did that. But I wonder what was preached on Sunday concerning.
Well, you know what? A lot of churches won't face racism, and a lot of churches will say, well, we just going to pray about it. Yeah. And they're going to just put everything on God when God is saying, hey, you need to do something. I'm going to kick back and see what you're going to do.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
Yeah.
You
know, with these evils and stuff on here. You know, he gives us a choice to do stuff, right?
Yeah.
It's a choice.
Well, the Bible says faith without works is dead, being alone.
That's what it says.
That means if you're going to have faith, you pray, you do all those things, but then also, too, you have to start walking.
You've got to put in the work. That's right.
Can't sit back and just, well, I'm going to let God handle it. Mm-hmm. God's going to handle what he handled, but you got to do some work. I'm sorry. That's the way I feel.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't believe in just sitting back and somebody kicking me in the butt.
Yeah.
And I'm just going, okay, well, that felt pretty good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Go and do it again.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Come on.
You know,
step it, fetch it. Yeah, the boss.
Yeah, step it,
the boss. I'm coming on around the bend. Okay, I get that pail of water for you. I'm your good nigga. You know what I mean? Come on, man.
I will say this. People think that racism is an African-American problem. No, it is an American problem.
Yeah.
It is going to affect you. People feel like, well, it's not going to affect me because I'm white, I'm Hispanic, or I'm an elitist African-American, because you got a lot of those, too. that are elitist African American. Don't touch me because I got money. Mm-hmm. But it's an American issue, and it's going to affect you one way or the other.
Especially people of color.
Yeah.
Because I don't care how much money Oprah Winfrey got, Bill Cosby got, all of these LeBron James. You see what happened to LeBron James. Well, you know,
he actually said something.
Huh? He actually said something about it.
Michael Jordan.
Michael Jordan and all of that. I don't care. It is a race. It's an issue.
Yeah, it is.
You know, it's a big time issue. You know, you're going to always be black. You know what I mean? And
then intermingle that with what's going on in North Korea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's another racial issue.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Well,
you know, fire and fury as the world has never seen before. You going to throw that? He bet not. Are you serious?
Yeah, we have.
One crazy to another crazy.
Yeah.
Don't make but more crazy.
What my sister say at the council meeting? Were you there? She said something like, y'all think we crazy or something like that. I'm going to show you crazy.
Hey.
Uh-huh. You were gone. You had left by that time.
Oh, yeah, because I couldn't take it no more.
You said it was BS.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Then somebody was like, oh, we need to be calm. We've been calm.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Yeah.
You're talking about a basic need here.
One of the things.
Yeah, basic need.
One of the things that I'm afraid of.
That's what they're talking about when you're talking about racism.
Yeah. That's right.
Right.
Yeah. Right. One of the things I was afraid of, Tupac was a very smart man. He was disturbing.
He was a genius.
But he had a.
And that he was.
He used an analogy. And this is the analogy he used on MTV. He said, in the 60s, he said, you guys had a. And it's like you guys had food,
uh-huh.
And there was a glass door right there.
Food,
and,
right.
And so what we were doing in the 60s, this is what we were doing in the 60s. They were saying, we are hungry, please let us in. We are hungry, please let us in. Then he said the 80s, he said, we got a little bit more aggressive. He said, we hungry, we need some food. He said, then 1990s, he said, you know what? I'm kicking down the door and taking this food.
Uh-huh.
And so what you're seeing is a progression. And what's going to happen, and our millennials are starting to get that white and black are saying, okay, this is enough. We're going to make a stand for it, and they're getting more aggressive.
And that's the thing. The aggressiveness is just not coming from us. You know, back in the 60s, the civil rights movement, it was predominantly us. And we had a few whites that were sort of like the Underground Railroad. They would kind of help us to freedom.
Yeah, you had a few
know.
Whites involved.
But now I've seen sporadic black folks at the Charlottesville thing. It was mostly white folks that was fighting
each
other.
Well, it was predominantly white fighting whites.
Yes, exactly.
That's what it was.
Over this issue.
Yes.
Because I think, you know what, it was Fannie Lou Hamer said, I'm sick and tired of being
sick and tired.
That's what she said.
And I believe that you have
profound
people,
statement.
I do like some of the people that have been talking and speaking against it. One of them is Tim Wise.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I met him before.
Yeah, who will speak
Tim
on
Wise.
Too.
You know, you got people like Tim Wise and Jane Elliott and these type of whites who charge up whites.
Yeah.
That's
you
true.
Know, and they speak
That's
the truth. You know, because the truth will set you free.
Yeah.
It will.
You know,
and
we know that.
And like I said, I tell people, I said, not only should the white consciousness be, arise, but also, too, some of my African-American brothers and sisters, I know they don't like to hear this, is some of us, we're living in a delusional world ourselves.
Yes, we are.
Come on,
yes.
You can say that. You can repeat that again.
No, we're living in a delusional world where there's nothing wrong. I think it was Lil Wayne that said that racism doesn't exist.
Yeah, that's what he said.
Yes, racism doesn't
he
exist.
He actually let that come out of his mouth.
Well, you know, he's full of that lean. And
so I'm like,
that lean.
Too much gold in his mouth has gone to his brain.
He said that. I remember him saying
that.
I believe because of the money that he has or had. made him believe that racism is not a problem because I guess now that I have the money.
It's non-existent.
Yeah, file bankruptcy and find out what happened.
Yeah, that's right.
You're going right down there.
Hey.
You're going right down.
You see what they try to do to Bill Cosby?
Yeah.
You know
what
I mean?
One of the most powerful
and then
men
they attacked Michael Jackson.
Exactly.
You know, it doesn't matter how much money you have.
Prince?
Yeah.
Prince, they
he's
all
the
of
one
them.
Who tries to.
Yeah,
you
it
know.
Doesn't matter how much money the system is going to try to get you.
I know it's a serious moment. I started to crack a joke. I'm not going to. I started to say R. Kelly, too. No,
R. Kelly, too. He's in there.
Yeah.
You're going to put him in there.
That's right.
You know what I mean? Yeah, right. He's right in there, too. So the media will destroy them and try to destroy you.
Yeah, you know,
and
OJ found that out. You know, I don't listen to a lot of rap. And I listen to Jay-Z's album because some of the things he was saying I wanted to hear. And on that song called "A Story of OJ,"
Oh, yeah. That,
is,
hey, Jay,
that'd be real
yeah, Jay-Z,
good.
That's good.
And he said,
what did it say? Steel nigga.
Steel,
steel nigga.
And so the first line in his lyrics in his first bar, he said, OJ said, I'm not black. He said, I'm not black, I'm OJ.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jay-Z responds, say, okay.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
And so he found that out. But OJ actually made that statement years
mm-hmm.
ago, you know, when Jim Brown and Muhammad
mm-hmm.
Ali and they were
mm-hmm.
getting together. He said, I'm not black, I'm OJ.
Mm-hmm.
Well, OJ understood.
But he said, steel nigga.
Yeah.
Steel nigga.
You might have to find that song and play it. I think that'd be something.
Yeah.
I'll
play that, man. Yeah,
yeah,
right.
That.
Steel nigga.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and racism is still alive and kicking. I see it every day.
Yeah.
Even
you
more
can
so.
See it every day.
Even more so.
You know, I attended a rally last night at Reconciliation Park, you know, down there, and a lot of whites, predominantly white, were down there. Predominantly, and these were basically whites who are against racism.
Yeah,
you know that crowd of whites.
Yeah,
and you know, and they were had several different speakers and people were talking and stuff. And some of the whites hit on some real heavy stuff out there. You know what I mean? Against other whites and about racism.
Really?
Yeah, they had some great points right there. And we had ours like Richard Baxter and Greg Robertson and. Well, I'm not going to call somebody else who was out there, you know.
Why? Why? Why?
Anyway.
Why you even
anyway.
Say that? You ain't going to bring it up. You
okay, well, I shouldn't even brought that one up because
you sure shouldn't have.
I said I wasn't going to even give him no play. Anyway,
oh, I know who
so,
you're talking about.
So therefore,
I'm going to give him some play.
No, I don't support. I just don't do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but we
and
are
so,
a media. Just because you don't agree, don't mean
we are media.
That everybody.
Well, you say it because you was there. If you were there, you said it. Anyway,
I wasn't there, so
you know,
I'm not sure.
There
were
certain people. There are certain people that I don't like to call everybody's name who don't want me to call their names in the community.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know,
if they in the community and they active, they don't mind you calling their names because they all about the community. I don't believe that.
Are they all about the community?
If they
are they
I'm
all about
in their own mind.
Are they all about themselves?
I'm telling
you. Are they all about themselves?
Bobby, I understand.
I'm not
going to
argue
saying.
With you this time, Saray.
Oh,
you know, we're not going to go on this time.
Ding, 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 ding.
And me trying to give this man some look here,
okay.
And we're talking about the violence in Virginia.
That's
you
right.
know what I mean,
that's
and,
right.
and all of that. Hey, we getting ready to have a ride up in here over a knucklehead.
No,
you know
no,
what I mean.
Not.
So
no,
anyway,
just don't even say
anything about it. I can say.
No, don't even say. I'm not gonna mention his name. Just don't say nothing. Don't even give him that much play.
I can say that though.
I can
say that. I can say that
can
on the Bobby Eaton show. Okay, here we go. Anyway, we're gonna move forward. We're talking about racism. Hey, y'all, me and Sansa Ray up here. Hey, that's right. I love her. You know, I love me some Sansa Ray. And that's what's going on with that one right there. So great. Woo-wee! But hey, you know, racism is still alive, y'all.
Still alive.
Very strong.
It's still alive. And very, like you say, very strong.
Mm-hmm.
We've got some other people in the studio. We're going to get them on in a little bit, but. Hey, we wanted to talk about this topic.
Yeah,
you know, this topic, you know. And it all stems from slavery. It stems from back in the day. You know, it was brought from Europe. Racism kind of started from the European and Great Britain.
Yeah.
You know, and that's where that racism, you
know.
Well,
the thing of it is, the new Americans that came over here from the UK and from Brit, they were throaways. They were
vagabonds.
They didn't want them.
Pirates.
They were the ones that the country didn't want.
Mm-hmm.
So they came on over here and instilled all this hatred in there. Well, manipulation.
Well,
they
went over to Africa, manipulated them and beat them down, brought them to America. They kicked the Indians, the Native Americans in
that's
the butt,
right.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
Took over the land, shot them and
that's
shoot
right.
them, boom, boom, boom,
that's
bang.
Right.
And everywhere they went, they've always destroyed.
Yeah.
Look at the massacre of 1921 right here in Tulsa.
Always destruction.
A lot of landowners were so in fear for their lives, they just said, forget it. And they left. So after so many years, if you don't pay that property tax, then the land is up for sale. Am I right or wrong?
That's true.
That's how they garnered. That's how they got a lot of that land. It just destroyed what we knew as something as a prosperous Greenwood Archer.
Well, that was a massacre.
It was nothing but it wasn't a race riot.
It's kind of like me coming over your house and telling you to give it up. and all right, I'm gonna burn it up.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you saying no.
Yes.
And then they all of a sudden, I just burn it up.
Yeah.
And
that's
I destroy it.
That's
you know?
What happened.
And that's what happened.
That's what happened.
You know, and that's what we got to get back to.
Jealousy and enviousness.
We
yeah.
have
it's a
to.
Very bad thing.
It is necessary for us to get back to the Black Wall Street way
yeah.
of life.
Yes.
You know, we got to share that with our children and our kids and our community
mm-hmm.
and get back to that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Once we do that, you know.
But you know what, Bobby?
What is it?
Isn't it something? Isn't it something, Mario, that it seems that more white folks understand that than we do?
Yeah.
Well, there's a percentage of
yeah.
us that are uneducated about our history
yeah.
and our identity, and we need to pass that information on. Because how often do you say, if you start talking about Black Wall Street, some blacks don't even know what you're talking about.
Yeah, that's true.
They'd be
yeah.
like, what?
Yeah.
Right here in Tulsa? You mean that happened?
Mm.
You know, they don't even know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
You know, so we got to start educating
yeah.
about our history, you know?
Yeah. Well, one of the things at Langston Hughes, we're one of the only schools actually in Oklahoma that has an African American history course. And actually, I was the one that taught that last year, but before I became the assistant principal. And actually, I can really break down a whole etymology of how this all started, this self-hate. You know, it's been planted many years ago. Many people have heard about the Willie Lynch method.
Mm-hmm.
Some historians are saying they're not sure if he was a real person, but the premise in which it was taught was actually something they were actually using.
Mm-hmm.
When people start to say that racism, you know, Malcolm X was, you know, despite his religion and things that he'd done, he had a great premise between the house Negro and the field Negro. And what he said is, everyone knows, he's seen the movie, read the book, is that when you have a person that's in the house, that means that person has it a lot better than the person in the field.
Mm-hmm.
And they will start to justify the treatment of the race as a whole, because they don't want to let go of what's going on with them. And so the house,
exactly.
let's say the house slave will say, you know what, things are good for me,
mm-hmm.
but the field slave is getting beat to death. And
that's
so what's
right.
happening, it's still going
well,
on.
Well, you know, the house slave was also getting chastised mentally.
Yes.
You know, from what he was, the verbiage and everything
yeah.
that he got, and abuse from the mental standpoint thing, and the field slave was from the physical.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And
so,
yeah, and they brought about
that
divide.
You also
yeah.
had some house slaves that were being rewarded
yes.
for spying.
Oh, for sure. For telling
the
them. Yeah, right,
sisters.
Exactly.
They followed a lot of plans. Because if you think about it, and if you go think about it, it's like, here it is, this field slave. I'm getting beat just like the field slave. Not as much, but I get to eat the corn. I ain't got to eat all the pig intestine. So
mm-hmm.
I'm going to embrace this life. It's not as good as I want it to be.
Right.
But I'm going to embrace it. So therefore, you have even that to this day. So I look at people like Lil Wayne that say things like
mm-hmm.
racism does not exist because they have become in the form of that house slave.
Yeah.
When you have
yeah.
other people say, man, no, this is
yeah.
not right.
Yeah,
this
right.
No, life is okay with me. They don't treat me that type of way.
And another thing about that house slave, sometimes master would make that house slave whip the field
yeah.
slave.
Yeah, that happened.
Yeah.
That happened.
You know,
yeah.
give him a whip until you go out there and beat
right.
him.
Yeah.
That's
well,
right.
yeah.
One of the... I like the movie Django.
Django.
Yeah.
And Sam Jackson, you know, he's a magnificent
actor. Oh, man.
Actor.
He played
yes,
that
he
part,
did he? Did. You know, and so.
Ooh, I hated him.
Yeah, I know.
He's one of my favorite actors.
He was Tom and Hard, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Tom and Cooney.
And so, and, he was able to question. And so he was like, okay, what's better than this? At least I'm not getting treated like they are.
That's
but
right.
see, I was still treated as a boy when I went, as a boy when he went places.
Mm-hmm.
But you have that going on right now. So when I look at the Charlottesville, Virginia thing, you're going to have. I've seen some of my white brothers and sisters stand up for protests, but I'm looking at some of my own people. What are you going to say?
Yeah, what are
because
you
because things
say?
Are cushioned for you.
That's right.
Life is comfortable, so I don't want to mess up this
right.
comfortable way of living. Are you going to say something? Are you going to say,
mm-hmm.
you know what, this is not right? Are you going to sit back and say, well, no, I won't mess up what I got up in this place. I ain't out there in the field with them, and so I don't want nobody to mess with what I got. And so
right.
there ain't nobody never seen nothing come this way. We all right over here. And so I'm wondering. Are people, and I got a lot of people, they
yeah,
anything
well,
about,
sounds just like
hey,
one of them, too.
You know what my daddy said, too?
What?
If that statement make you mad, my daddy said, if you throw a rock in the house, the dog to get hit, he going to bark.
Mm-hmm.
So if what I just said offended you, then I'm talking about you.
I know,
you know
that's
my,
right.
My
that's
dad had a lot of sayings. If your feet ain't in the aisle, I won't step on them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm wondering what they're going to say about this Charlottesville, Virginia thing, because it's going to affect everyone nationally.
It's already affecting.
You're
going to
see a trickle effect. Now, talking about this, but Tulsa is a hotbed because we know 1921 is a ghost that we have not dealt with. That just
have
looming
That's
in
right.
the area, just looming.
That's
that
right.
ghost is looming in the area. And
I
see,
never,
one thing that I think that we need to do here in Tulsa, Oklahoma, the home where I live and born and raised.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. We got to get some balls.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just being truthful about it, man.
Yeah, yeah.
We have too many racist issues and things
well,
that take place,
like
and we don't do anything about it.
And everything is so passive. We're so
yeah.
meek and passive.
Yeah.
Like at that city council meeting, I'm like, what the heck? Are you really serious? Are you going to sit here and listen to this woman
and
try
you know,
to justify
exactly.
the difference of the lifespan between the North and the South when it's fact, scientific fact, but you're going to
yeah.
still let her
and
try to sit there and not say nothing and sit there and listen? I couldn't take it no more.
You know what? And also, you know, you walked out. You know, and
yes, I did.
Also, the fact that you have smaller cities than Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Yeah.
You got even right here at Charlottesville is smaller than Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Yeah, it is. It is.
And Ferguson is smaller than Tulsa, Oklahoma, that have more balls than more balls than we have right here in our own city.
Yeah.
People won't show up. They won't turn. You know, you got a small little people just kick back. Well, I'm going to stay at half. I ain't going to get involved in all of that. You know, but I'm going to watch me some TV. You know what I mean? And they get comfortable in the zone of having that foot put up their butt all the time. You know what I mean? Oh, kick me again. One more time. That feels good. Poof. And that happens right here in our
yeah.
community. And we need to stop with that type of mentality. You got to get out and you got to do something and stand for something, or else you'll fall for anything.
That's
what you'll do. You'll fall for anything.
And please, please, whatever you do, register to vote.
You
got to
vote.
That's just not in the general. You need to vote for city and state. That's what's affecting us. Because I'm telling you, them white folks, them Republicans, they're going to get out there and vote.
They're going to vote.
And
you know,
and that's controlling your
life. A thing about this is, a lot of times we sit back and just talk about it in our kitchens and our living rooms and at the house and complain. But if you're not doing anything, don't say nothing about it. Because all you're going to do, don't complain, you know, if you ain't doing nothing about it. And that's what I feel. And I really feel that way. Now, people can say Bobby crazy, Bobby angry, Bobby militant, Bobby everything. But I have this platform right here for you to voice your opinions about what you feel.
No, stories
you
your
know,
way.
We tell our stories our way. You know, I had a guy said that he support my radio station. And I said, hey, man, have you ever heard it before? He says, no, I ain't never heard it before. I said, well, you don't support my station. The station is for you, for the community, for the people to voice their opinion, because the media is powerful. And they're going to tell our stories their way.
That's right. They're going to edit it and cut it up.
They're going to cut it up. So
yep.
racism is alive yep, and kicking.
That's right.
It's alive and kicking.
That's right.
Yeah.
And we got to stand for something.
We got to
stand
for a lot.
For something.
I'll fall
right.
for anything.
That's why and really and truly, I was surprised. When nobody walked out behind me, I was really surprised. Even if they would have walked
Don't
out and turned
surprised.
Back around and went back in,
mm-hmm.
I was just really shocked that you would want to sit there and listen to that.
Right.
That rhetoric.
That rhetoric that took place. Because that really was just
that's
what it
exactly
was.
Exactly what it
yeah.
was.
You know, it
yeah.
was what it was.
I
and
don't know.
It's just crazy like that.
Yep.
You know.
And so one of the things I try to do, I work with a lot of young people. I try to educate them and expose them.
Yeah.
White, black, Hispanic. Indian, expose them to some of the treachery, some of the tragic things that we have had to see because
mm-hmm.
of ignorance
mm-hmm.
and for what people did things. And so I try to educate them. I think that once we start to educate our young people more, I think that they'll take up the torch and I do something different.
Yeah, they
yeah,
will.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, look here, we're going to go to the phone lines. I think we got a caller right here. Let's see who we have. Area code 972-468. You're on the air.
Hi, Bobby.
Hello. Who am I speaking with?
Bobby, this is Aduni. How are you?
Pretty good, Aduni. How have you been?
I'm doing good. I just called in to listen to your conversation. And is it Sansaray?
Sansaray, yes.
Yes. Hello.
Sansaray, and who's the other gentleman?
This is Mario Choice.
Mario. Okay. Well, I'm listening to and I'm agreeing with everything everybody is saying. I didn't get a chance to make the city council meeting. I wanted to, but I had to leave town. But I was doing some research today, and this is addressing everything that everyone has said so far that I've been listening to. But I was doing some research today because I'm working on a study guide to go along with the documentary that I did about the rebuilders of Black Wall Street, the people that built from the ashes back into its wealth up until integration. So I'm doing some research because I'm adding to the glossary and the vocabulary. And I ran across a lecture by Amos N. Wilson. Have any of you read or heard him?
Yeah.
No, I haven't.
You had him?
No,
yeah.
His name is Amos N. Wilson. Just Google him or go to YouTube and pull it up. You'll be quite surprised. But he said something that I'm going to try to incorporate in my study guide for our African-American children to learn about their wealth and to learn about their skills and the talents that they have in their DNA. And he talks about this. And he says that you cannot have your wealth flowing out of a nation. The Japanese don't. The Chinese don't. They come to America and they buy or they sell. But we as an African people, the only thing that we have that keeps this economy going is our labor. We are laborers. And we were brought over to do labor. And since slavery, that's all we know. It's in our DNA now as African Americans is that we give our labor. So what he was saying and what I heard from his lecture, and I'm reading one of his books now called The Blueprint for Black Power. And he's saying that in order for us to get out of that slave mentality, you were talking about Tulsa, and I've lived in several cities. I've lived in New York. I've lived in Chicago. I've lived in Atlanta. And each one of those areas, I gravitated to groups of people that were community activists. And I was thrilled to be part of a march. I was thrilled to be putting together banners. I was thrilled to, do rides or whatever, because I felt like that I was involved. And what I've learned in living in all of these different cities is that every city has its personality. Tulsa has a personality of a crabs in the barrel. And what you said earlier, Mario, about they don't want to shake their wagon. They don't want to draw attention to themselves. They're comfortable. They don't want to do that. But what Amos N. Wilson was saying is that in order to have the change, you have to have a revolutionary. In order to have a revolutionary, you have to have a war. In order to have a war, you have to have casualties. And we have to be willing in order to survive to have that war. In other words, we have to sacrifice in order to get what we want. It might not be us that benefits, but it will be our great-grandchildren or our great-great-great-grandchildren. And if you look at other ethnic groups, they will sacrifice for their children. They will sacrifice for their grandchildren. They will do that. But because we have that slave mentality of the house Negro, then we're comfortable with what we have. We don't want to lose what we have, so we don't want to risk it by fighting for it. But in order for us to have what we need to have economic power. In order to have economic power, we have to manufacture something to sell. And we can't do that if we're not recycling our black dollars, if we're not teaching our children, yes, go to college, get the education, sign with the big company, learn how it runs, and then come back to our community and open up the same type of business. Hire your own people. That's what we need to do. We need to teach our children to go into business for themselves. It's written in their DNA. The pyramids were not built just by labor. They had to have an economic system together to buy and sell the materials that the people needed in order to put it up. So there had to be an economic system in place, and that is in our children's DNA. They know how to do this. I mean, we have genius of children. that can go in and listen to a lecture and get it right off, or they can go in and learn a mathematical thing and do it. Our children know how to do this, but they don't have the self-confidence. They don't have the confidence within themselves to know that they can do this, and then they can turn around and teach their brothers and sisters the same thing.
That is so true. Yeah, you know, you said a mouthful right there. You know, and we need to educate ourselves even more and have the knowledge. That's what we lack, the knowledge and the information.
And we talked about the millennials, and the millennials that I am dealing with, and I am just a consult because I ran my race. I did what I was supposed to do. So now I'm an elder, and I'm just giving them the benefit of my experience. Mm-hmm. But what we can do is to grab hands with the millennials, because they know. They've been to college.
Mm-hmm.
They know. They know what's going on. The Jamal Dyers of the city, and you know, the young people that are opening up shops on Peoria and shops on Greenwood.
They already know. Yeah, you have so many of them. You know, you got the Jamal Dyers, the Sharika Stewarts, and
We need to support them. We need to support them as much as we can, and their children. We do. And
I talk with the millennials all the time. You know,
Nika
Nicole and everybody.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
And
we get them in.
The Monroe. I woke up this morning to the news report about them.
I got some of them in here right now. Gonna bring them on.
Well,
just a little
I called Jamal's name out over the air, but he's doing good work. But I'm going to call another name out, the principal at Monroe Demonstration Academy. And I woke up this morning to that news report, and here she has a lab at her school that is teaching 6th, 7th, and 8th graders how to write a business plan, how to get backers and investors, and mm-hmm. What they have to do to manage. This millennial is teaching our children.
Wonderful.
And so we need to support that. Yeah.
I'm not gonna say senior, but Ben, I'm not gonna say
senior.
Being a senior, I like to hang around with millennials because they teach me a whole lot of what's going on today.
They keep you young too.
They keep you young.
But I just wanted to, you know, to just kind of throw that out there that, you know, we just need to get out of this slave mentality. A lot of us have the slave mentality, but we don't really realize it because. He asked a question, why is the African names sound strange to us? It's because it has been beat out of us, it has been whipped out of us to identify with who we are.
Yeah, we've incorporated these white men,
European ways,
slave names, mm-hmm. and we've passed those names on down.
Yeah. Yep.
Yep.
Great point. You made some excellent points.
Or as my mother says, government name. She changed her government name to her Native American name.
Right,
yeah,
right,
she changed
it. Right. Well, hey, we want to thank you for calling in and sharing all that pertinent information.
Hopefully we can
get you back in
good
here
stuff.
And get a show going and things like that. You know, spread the word.
I'm working on this study guide, and as soon as I get it finished, I would like to come and talk about it because it really needs to be taught in the school along with the documentary so that our Tulsa children can see their great-grandfathers and their great-great-grandmothers and what they did to rebuild Black Wall Street up to its glory again before integration. And then we can talk about what happened. I'll tell you a little story, and I'll save it for the radio show about when that happened. I was a young lady when that happened. I was a young girl when that happened because, you know, my dad had opened up a bowling alley on North Apache. And at the time of integration, you know, I witnessed something from our people that I'll tell you about at another time.
Oh, sounds good.
Oh, wow.
I cannot wait.
Really?
You know, that's going to be awesome right there.
That is.
Sounds mm-hmm. awesome to me.
What was the caller's name again? What is your name?
Aduni.
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 Aduni, yeah.
I love
it. Thank you. It's, it's so the full name is Therese Anderson Aduni. My father was Reverend Harold M. Anderson. He was the developer of Crestview, and he had several businesses on North Turkey. He had a miniature golf course. He had a bowling alley. He had a theater. He had a restaurant. He had a double theater. He had all of that on the north side. Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, your dad was he was definitely a great icon in the North Tulsa community, you know, and he's someone to be. And that's what we have. We have a lot of great men who are not recognized, you know, and they're gone now, and you know, it's just not there.
Well, not too late. We need to recognize.
Yeah, we need a museum or something like that, you know.
But in order to beat racism, we got to remember our past, and we got to remember how great we are. That's how you beat racism.
Beating racism is being
self-contained and helping ourselves.
That's right. Well, hey, thank you, and I appreciate you. And get with me, and we'll talk about another platform of information that you can bring to the table, okay?
Thank you. Bye-bye, everybody.
Right.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you, bye. Great.
Wow, Aduni.
Great information.
I can't wait to have her on the air.
A lot of information.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of people here in Tulsa,
Oklahoma, within herself,
who have a lot of knowledge and information to bring to the table.
Yeah.
They just got to bring it to the table.
Yeah. Well, that's what she's trying to do.
Yeah.
That's
what they're trying to do.
Well, she's not trying to. She is doing it.
You know, and when they do it right.
They do it.
Yep.
Yeah, and that's what it's about. You know, we're going to take a little break.
Okay.
You know, and I'm going to play this Jay-Z, The Story of
Uh-oh.
O.J.
Listen to the words.
You know, y'all listen to the words.
This is the explicit version, so I need you to, you know.
You got that?
Huh?
Yeah, you've been doing it to me. You got it?
Oh,
okay, yeah, I got it. I got it right here. Let's see what's happening. The Story of O.J. by Jay-Z.
Dog nigga, faux nigga, real nigga, rich nigga, poor nigga, house nigga, feel nigga, still nigga.
My name is
still nigga.
Me,
I like that second one. Light nigga, dog nigga, faux nigga, real nigga, rich nigga, poor nigga, house nigga, feel nigga, still nigga, still nigga. OJ like. I'm not black, I'm OJ. Okay. House nigga, don't fuck with me. I'm a field nigga with Sean Cutlery. Go play the quarters where the butlers be. I'ma play the corners where the hustlers be. I told them, please don't die over the neighborhood that your mama renting. Take your drug money and buy the neighborhood. That's how you rinse it. I bought every V12 engine. Wish I could take it back to the beginning. I could have bought a place in Dumbo before it was Dumbo for like $2 million. That same building today, it's worth $25 million. Guess how I'm feeling? Dumbo. Light nigga, dog nigga, faux nigga, real nigga, rich nigga, poor nigga, house nigga, feel nigga, still nigga, still nigga. Light nigga, dog nigga, faux nigga, real nigga, rich nigga, poor nigga, house nigga, feel nigga, still nigga.
My name is
still nigga. You wanna know what's more important than throwing away money at a strip club? Credit. You ever wonder why Jewish people own all the property in America? That's how they did it. Financial freedom, my only hope. Fuck living rich and dying broke. I bought some artwork for $1 million. 2 years later, that shit worth $2 million. 2 years later, that shit worth $8 million. I can't wait to get this shit to my children. Y'all think it's bougie. I'm like, it's fine, but I'm trying to give you $1 million worth of game for $9.99. I turn a 2 to a 4, 4 to an 8. I turn my life into a nice first week release date. Y'all is still taking advantage, huh? Me and my niggas taking real chances, You're on the gram holding money to your ear. There's a disconnect. We don't pull that money over here, yeah. Light nigga, dark nigga, faux nigga, real nigga. Rich nigga, poor nigga, house nigga, feel nigga. Still nigga. Still nigga. Light nigga, dark nigga, faux nigga, real nigga. Rich nigga, poor nigga, house nigga, feel nigga. Still nigga. Still nigga.
Oh yeah, house nigga, field nigga, nigga nigga. Yeah, no, no. Yeah.
Now, here's my disclaimer for that song.
Okay.
Now, talk about it now.
It's not something that I would put on my iPod. I mean,
no,
I went all the way back. I went
already
on my YouTube playlist. But however, I did listen to it, and he's saying a lot of vital things concerning financial wealth.
Yeah.
About spending money and dealing drugs in the neighborhood. And so with that premise, I agree with how he's talking about financial freedom,
mm-hmm.
You know, and about at one point, I think he said that I should have bought a painting for a lot less money.
Yeah.
But
now it's worth so much
worth
more.
So much. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So. He's talking about that, and that's something
and
I thought.
And passing that on to
yeah.
his kids.
And I agree with that part
yeah.
of it. I think that he really sends a strong message. He's talking about no matter what phase of life that you're in, it's going to be some people that are still going to look at you as the N-word.
Right, yeah. right.
That's
and so I do
right.
understand
okay.
what he's saying about that. So I agree
yeah.
with that premise of the song.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, look here. We're going to bring into this conversation a couple of friends of mine. Mika Nicole, how you doing, Mika?
Doing well, Bobby.
You doing well? And also Sharika Stewart over there. How are we doing?
Bonjour.
Bonjour. Okay, let me get your volume up a little bit.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I got you
can
right
you
there.
Can you hear me now?
Can you hear me now? How you guys feel? We've been talking about racism. You know, we know that it's alive and kicking and all that kind of stuff, you know. And what are you guys' views on it? I'm asking. Hello.
Sharika.
I'm overwhelmed at it, but Bobby, to be honest with you, growing up in a small country town where, you know, my great-grandmother raised me, I was pretty sheltered. And I could tell now growing up why we were sheltered, you know. She was raised picking cotton. I didn't know anything about that. I do know she didn't have an education. I knew she walked to the post office for that mail every day, and pushed me to and drilled into me, you need to get married, you need to get your education, nobody's gonna hand you nothing. Just really, she was a feminist, you know, she was a widow. And now I can understand why she was the way she was. But honestly, from another angle, like I was talking to you this morning, I think us as Black people, we have a responsibility that was just put on us. Like you said, they did a number on us that was unfair. But I talked to my godparents and mentors this morning, and she's white, you know, the lady that I brought up at the city council meeting
last Wednesday. Okay.
Concerning the moratorium. However, I took another angle and asked her, I said, what if slavery was back the other way around? I said, because she couldn't really, she's a Christian, first of all, and she couldn't really grasp how I felt as a Black young lady, the passion. And she's a Christian too. So, you know, Christianity, we're blinded toward, and we want to be, we don't want to spew hate on one another. So she's just like, well, you know, with God, there's no limitations. You know, we're a sum total of the decisions that we make on a daily basis. So she really don't get. She's like, the poor people you will always have with you. I said, let me tell you something. Think about this. A black man entering into your father's house, taking your mom and slapping her, and your dad's not able to do anything, spitting on her and possibly raping her. When I tell you that hit her like a ton of bricks, Bobby.
Did it really? Did it really? Wow.
He was like,
no, that
didn't
happen.
No. She said, sure. I never thought of it like that. I went straight to that TV this morning and I said, 13th, we're going to watch this, me and your family, because you're an uneducated white woman.
Yes. Right. Told her right.
And she was, this whole morning, she couldn't even be herself, Bobby, because it really, she could relate then. I went straight to the TV and turned on 13th, and I said, we're going to watch this because you need to understand what they did to us and why the black community is like it is today.
Mm-hmm. That's great. You know what I mean? And you have to talk about this every day to someone who don't know.
Yeah.
You know, you share the word. Education is power. Knowledge is power.
Well, it's the way that you have to relay that, because even though baby girl was saying, she couldn't really relate until she brought it all the way home to where it affected her.
Absolutely.
As long as it didn't affect her and her world,
she was okay.
She could be compassionate only a small percentage. Mm-hmm. But when you put it into an aspect where it was affecting her, then it brought about a whole different mindset and perspective.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, you know.
Well, Mika, how you feel about it? Are you jumping? I say your name and you about to jump out that seat over there. You know what I mean?
I wasn't ready.
What's going on? What do you mean? Racism is alive and kicking. You know, me and you, we talk about it all the time.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and you know what time it is.
Absolutely. Bobby, I will say this. Coming up, my mom is from Alabama, deep south. And we traveled a lot. And I always noticed that.
Go and get closer to that mic, girl.
Can you hear me now?
Get on up in that mic. Eat that black stuff.
But coming up, I noticed that when we traveled, and we traveled long distances, we drive, you know, we take a 13-hour, 14-hour trip. And my parents were very adamant about, make sure you use the bathroom before you leave. Make sure you don't drink a lot of water. We had snacks and food and, you know, chicken that mom fried the night before, because you know we can eat chicken cold.
That's right.
And I'm, you know, the whole time growing up, I'm thinking that, okay, we trying to hurry up and get there. We don't have time to stop. It wasn't until I was an adult that I know that the reason why they were doing that is because during the times that they were coming up, there was very limited places that black people can stop and use
the
bathroom. They could stop and eat. And that has just been carried on from generation to generation to the point where I find myself even doing it. Like, I hope y'all use the bathroom before we get on the road, because I'm not stopping, you know. But, I mean, it's sad that I can drive from Tulsa to Dallas, and there's a little town, and I don't know the name of the town, but there's little bars and gas stations that are still waving the rebel flag. Have you seen
gosh,
it?
Atoka?
Yeah.
There it is.
Is that the name?
Atoka.
Absolutely. Yes.
Atoka, they're very,
you better
very,
not get pulled over.
Stop and use the bathroom.
That's
don't have to use the bathroom going through there. Make sure your gas tank is full and,
that's
you know,
right.
All
yeah,
of that.
You don't stop there.
You don't. But, I mean, just to think of it was like that everywhere back then when my parents were growing up, you know, and that's why we wouldn't stop to use the bathroom, even though those days were gone, but not gone. It wasn't as, you know, overt as it was then.
You know, it's funny that you say that, because I had a friend who lived in Florida and his wife was white and he was traveling to, this is back in the day, he was traveling to Los Angeles, California. And he said she had to ride in the back of the van as he drove.
So they couldn't see.
I mean, that's
like the movie
You couldn't expect that back in the day. But, I mean, just here recently, This was actually a couple of months ago. My parents
still exists, huh?
Absolutely. My parents had gone out of town. It was a vacation somewhere, not in Atlanta, but one of the suburban, the rural areas out, outside of Atlanta. And they stopped at a gas station, and the store owner said, "We do not serve you." And this was in 2017.
Are you serious?
I cannot make this up. I said, "Mom, please tell me you tore that store up, right?" Tell me you knocked everything off the shelf. I said, "What did
you
do?
On your way out."
Right, you did something. I said, "What did you do?" She said, "We left. We got the hell up out of there." And I was like, "Okay."
She did the right thing.
That couldn't have been
so
me.
Yeah.
That couldn't have been, "Hey, you don't want me in here, but my car going to be on aisle two." Okay. I'm like, "Mama, you better than me."
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's difficult for me with two teenage boys to explain racism, because it's implied racism, it's covert, so it's not always out in the open.
It's taboo,
you know. So
it's
difficult to say.
But it's something that we have to. That's a conversation that we have to have with our children.
Right, I've had the conversation several times.
Several times,
yeah. But it's still so subtle.
Yeah.
That, you know, if you're the biggest, you're the fastest, you're the baddest, and you're still not chosen, and you're the only one on the only colored black kid on the team, there's a reason why, even though you're the bigger, better, faster, you know?
Yeah.
So I can't explain that. It's like, "Son, why do you think that you weren't chosen?
Yeah.
You tell me."
Wow.
Yeah.
And he can't even answer himself,
wow.
you know?
Right.
But we've been in that situation.
That's
I think
true.
I talked to you, Bobby, about my son on the,
baseball
team. Yeah.
And I don't understand how a guy of his magnitude and his size at 14 years old looks like he's as big as you, Mario.
Yeah, he's a big
and muscular. Girl. I'm not talking about no flubby guy.
Because I ain't husky. I'm thick.
You husky.
My homegirls call me husky. I get so mad. Remember what your husky said, huh?
You're fluffy, Mario.
No, I'm not fluffy. I'm nice and the thick man.
You thick man,
I'm
huh?
Thick.
Yeah, you thick.
Well, this guy, man, he's my buddy, and he's like, I mean, I look at him, I'm like, man,
wow.
This is an adult.
Right. Yeah.
You know, so he should be knocking over people in first place with everything.
And he
But when you're not given the opportunity, and racism is still alive and kicking in various different ways. You know what's there.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so you
They're,
guys
intimidated. Are, They're intimidated. They're intimidated by my 14-year-old son.
Yeah.
He told me, and he didn't tell me during the season, that a coach actually said to him, "You think you're better than all of us?"
He should have said, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, he didn't tell me this. He knows I will act the fool. And he didn't tell me a lot of these things until after the season ended.
Oh, yeah.
And I said, just so you know, you are. You're the best player on that team,
are.
And they know that.
That's
but you're
right.
also the only black kid on that team.
Well,
so
I want to ask what school it is, but I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, you know that. I mean,
Bobby, don't say it, Bobby. You about to say it? Wasn't.
No, I ain't going to say it.
I'm not even going to say what district.
I ain't going to say it. Sansari going to get on my case.
I was just going to say why. Put them on blast.
Put them on blast.
You know, Sansari walked up out to me. So these boots were made for walking.
Yeah.
And turn around and hollered at everybody before I left.
Yeah.
But yeah, they were really to the point where they were not only did they deny him the time that he deserved, because he was the best player on the team.
Yeah.
In the end, they tried to flip it and made it seem like he was the bad kid because he wanted to quit. I was like, you're done with that team. I don't support
it.
Quit. I won't go I won't go to a game. I won't do this. But they pushed him to a point where they would hype him up, and then bench him at the game. It was kind of like they were, playing mind games with him, And
one of the things with African American boys is that I faced this also too. Years ago, my dad took me to a school that I won't name that's in Texas, because my friends would know. And I was not seen.
Oh, come on, put it on blast.
My white colleagues were seen as go getters in a. And they were doing what they were supposed to do. I was seen as aggressive and angry.
Right.
And so it was like if I got angry in a game, it's like, why are you so angry?
Yeah.
But the other people, they had passion.
Right.
Oh my God.
Exactly.
Ronald has so much passion.
Right.
But Mario, you're so angry.
Right.
And so even in my workplace, I've had to, when I was working at a particular place, I had to watch how I came across. Not because I was afraid, because I know there are people following me.
Right.
At one point, I was one of the first African Americans to work at this place, and I didn't know that. This place is well known. I dare not say what place it is. I'll tell you after the broadcast. But and I had to really watch myself, because when I said something, it was seen as, oh my goodness, oh Mario, did we offend you? I was like, no, I just said the same thing, Bobby. No, that's just Bobby. But
all right, now
my white cord, my
yeah,
Bobby said,
white Bobby said,
said, you know what you know what Fred just said, and but when I said it, it came across as aggressive, and then with me, my size made it even worse. So you see me sometimes dumbing it down, not because I was afraid, but then I say, okay, if I'm the first, I don't want them to get this quote unquote stereotypical thinking about everyone that's going to be like, that's going to follow me.
Right.
So I had to almost dumb it down to watch for the people that's coming behind me. But it was very irritating that if I raised my hand up in a meeting, I said, I disagree with that. You can see the people hold their breath.
Yeah, I get that.
And then after the meeting, they say, Hey, buddy, hey, kind of offended you there, didn't we, Oh, I'm sorry, man. You know, I didn't think we really offended you, man. You know, man, you kind of scared us there for a second. And I'm sitting there looking like, well, how did I offend you? I just disagreed like Jason just did. And he's like, well, you know, I just said, you know, just kind of stood up in your seat a little bit. And I really want to say, well, I'm going to go NWA on you right now. You know, Negro would. But that happened. And actually, my father actually taught me. He said, son, there's certain things that you're not going to be able to do, and you'll understand later on. And I never understood that until I started becoming an educated black man. Yeah.
Right.
This job, and I'll say this real quick, we're talking about racism. This job that I actually went to, I actually walked in because I was one of the professors at this place. I was the actual professor. And so when I walked in, the lady told me, she said, are you looking for the students section?
Mm-hmm.
I said, no, I'm not looking for the students section. So I walked into where the professors have their mailboxes.
Uh-huh.
And so I walked in. She said, sir, why are you in the room where the professors have their mailboxes?
Because
I said, I'm looking for my mailbox. She said, no, the students are out this way. I said, ma'am, I'm a professor. I'm Professor Mario Choice. And she turned red. And she said, oh, I'm sorry, but see that whole projection, and I've had to walk through that. So I definitely understand what she's saying about her son, because my dad moved me to a district where he felt there was a better education, but I was seen as aggressive,
right,
with everything that I did.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Black man can be nothing but angry, in the eyes of white America.
And you know, there's a reason why, because the system is working. The system is designed to divide and conquer. And, you know, you ladies here, it's meant for you to empower you over us as black men.
Well, and not only to empower us, but to protect you. We think we're protecting you.
No. What it is the white system will empower you.
Oh, systematically.
They'll give you systematically. They'll give you the jobs. They'll give you the cars.
Oh, I see where you're coming from.
They'll give you the houses. They'll give you systematically power over your black man.
Yep.
You'll make $40,000 a year. He'll make $17,000 a year on the job. And you become the decision maker in the household. You understand what I'm saying?
That's true.
Yeah, you become the decision maker. You know, after periods of time has elapsed.
Independent woman is what they're
talking. Become so independent of him that his manhood is challenged, and he don't feel like the man of his household. He has no control.
Yeah, and it's nothing wrong with independence, but when independence leads to alienation, then you have
that's what I'm saying. And that's when JoJo and Pookie go to the streets, and they go and start drinking, they start drugging and hanging out. Oh, man, Sabrina, man, every time I come home, man, she blah, 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 blah on my case talking about, man, I ain't got no money for this bill. And I give her my check, but it ain't enough. Walmart ain't throwing down. You know what I mean? So, you know what I mean? Fiesta Mart don't pay me enough. You know, I can't find no job other than over at McDonald's. You know,
Bobby said Sabrina.
Sabrina. I just
Bobby said Fiesta Mart.
I'm just saying. That's an old school name.
That's a Sabrina. That's why I saw that.
But but you know
but
what?
That's what happens.
Yeah, and
what's happening in our society today.
Right, and that will explain now how you can see the system's turning to attack the woman of the house. Now, the women are being incarcerated at higher rates than the men. Because now we're the breadwinner, and that's how they're tearing up families now.
They're dividing.
The women.
It's the Willie Lynch syndrome.
Yes. That's right.
Willie Lynch syndrome.
And
in reverse.
It's working as designed.
The system has, and especially when you can control the black female, we come out of the black female. That's where we come from.
The woman.
When you can control her, you can control everything when it comes to us,
right,
as black people.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
That's why identity is so important. And that's why a lot of our black women don't have no identity no more. The nails, I ain't gonna leave the nails alone. But I'm talking about the weaves and the hair and the long and the eyelashes, injection of the body, because you don't like how you look naturally. You do not like it.
Yeah.
Because if you liked it, you would show it and wear it. You know, because there was a time when you did wear it.
Yeah.
You know, when you say it loud, I'm black and I'm proud.
Right.
And Angela Davis, big old froze and all that. And you wore it naturally. And you're beautiful naturally. Mm-hmm. You don't have to emulate any other race of people to be accepted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, where did all that come from? You know, because
the system and the media portrays it
to embrace other races. See, look here. We make them rich.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were a billion-dollar industry. We make them because black people, we are consumers, and we spin. And we're faddish too. We like fads.
Mm-hmm.
You know, anything. Yeah. What are they wearing this right now? What are they wearing right now? Keeping up with the Joneses. You ain't got these Nikes on.
The poorest ethnic group, but we spend the more.
Yeah, it's cool. Ain't it Kenna Kors right now?
Michael Kors.
Michael Kors.
Hey, it sounds right.
Which really ain't about nothing, because I got one sitting over here in the strap book, okay? And it ain't no throwback, okay?
Because, you know, Sansara is old school. She said Dooney and Burt.
Dooney and Burt.
Yeah, he went there.
Hey, my baby just bought me a Dooney and Burt.
I wasn't going to go there.
That was the one back in the day.
I still got one that I got back in 1990.
You know what? You need to hold on to it because it might come back.
You got that right.
But I mean, just kind of just looking at the Charlottesville incident, tragedy. That happened. It's really going to affect neighboring cities. I don't know if you guys
seen. It was terroristic.
It was. Have you guys seen Detroit?
I haven't seen that yet.
I suggest you to go see Detroit.
Yeah.
Detroit, I don't want to give you the plot of the movie.
It's so mad, though, when I look at movies like that.
But it's a true story, but it's something, and a lot of these things are going to start happening more. And what happened in Charlottesville, because of powers that be, I'm going to say powers that be, are empowering racist ideologies.
Yes.
Exactly.
I don't want to say his name, but he's embracing it. He's encouraging it. And so you're going to see a lot of people start
to come
out.
Trump.
Well, hey, we want you guys, keep in mind to dial that number 646-716-5525 and press that one button if you like to talk on the air. In order for us to hear you, you got to press that button.
Number one.
That's right. Mm-hmm. There we go. Hey, let's go to the phone lines and see who we have right now. Okay. Area code 918-804. You're on the Bobby Eaton Show.
Hey, Bobby, what's going on? It's Nehemiah Frank.
Nehemiah's my buddy. Neo. What's happening, man?
And I definitely want to say that, Sharika, I am very proud of you, because Trump had 24 hours to get his statement further together to come out to speak against white supremacy. That's just 24 hours too long.
That's right. That's right.
True.
It should not take the president of the United States to speak against that.
Yeah.
And did you see the way his mouth was? I was looking at his mouth and his
somebody
eyes.
Wrote that
and
for
there
him.
Was no. Well, not only did someone write it for him, but he said it with no emotion
at all, because he didn't believe in what he was saying.
You could tell he wouldn't believe.
And I always go with saying an immediate response is genuine.
Yes.
A delayed response is written.
Is written. That's right. Good.
And so that's
so
exactly
good.
That's good. You know, his, he had to get his writers. I'll be honest with you, because even his own staff are afraid when he opens his mouth.
Yeah, they are.
You know, a lot of them have confided in people and say, man, you know, we don't know what he's going to say.
Yeah.
Right.
Minute by minute, he's tweeting and people talking about his
You don't know what he's going to say.
Yeah.
Well, hey, Neil, how do you feel about all this and the racism and stuff that's going on and what's happening in our country today?
I mean, I think you guys know where I sit on this whole issue of white supremacy and neo-Nazism. I can't believe that, you know, we have a school here in Oklahoma named Lee after, you know, General Lee. We still have a district named Brady. Now, that's ambiguous because they supposedly renamed the Brady District after whoever this person was of music influence that's from the East Coast. But we know that they named that district after Tate Brady, the original person that used to live here in Tulsa and who was involved with the KKK. I think it's a slap in the face that we still have this name Brady here in Oklahoma,
mm-hmm.
here in the city. And we're screaming one Tulsa, but we still have that name. Like, this stuff is so this is not adding up. So,
what do you
think?
It's not adding up at all. You know, I just recently, I understand that you have a new media service company. Tell us a little bit about that while I got you on the air.
Yeah, so we have the Black Wall Street Times, and we have a lot of writers now. We just pulled some more in the last 2 days to write for us. But, yeah, we write from our own perspective, and we have white allies who write in support of our issues and our initiatives that we're trying to they help us shake the powers in our society. So it's a very progressive, forward-thinking paper. It's digital, and I believe it's powerful because we can reach international audiences. So,
which is so good. That's great. I mean, I love it today. So tell our listening audience, how can they get in touch with you? How can they read this? How can they obtain it?
Mm-hmm. So they can just hop online. You can type up our Google. You can type up the Black Wall Street Times in a Google search engine. I think that we're at the top. You can go on Facebook. A lot of our articles go through there. So you want to follow us on Facebook, the Black Wall Street Times. Follow us on Instagram. Follow us on Twitter. Yeah. So, and if you're interested in being a part of what we're doing, just reach out. We have an event that is going on this Saturday at the Rudy Still Library. I believe it's at 12 o'clock. I'm going to double check that, and I'll make sure I send that to you. But I do believe it's going to be at 12 o'clock. It'll be at the Rudy Still Library this Saturday.
Yeah. Speaking of the Rudy Still Library, tomorrow night there's an event taking place over there, correct?
Yes, city council meeting. Our city councilor, she's going to have a District 1 town hall meeting. And I think that there's going to be a lot of people there. So everyone should show up. We need to be civically engaged, especially in times like this in our country.
What time does it start?
So if you're from, it starts at 6 o'clock.
Okay.
I would encourage people to get there and get a seat by 5:45 because it looks like it's going to be a packed house.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll be there for sure.
You know, it's really nice to see a lot of civic engagement these days from North Tulsans.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
I've never really seen it like this.
Yeah. So, well, you know, that's telling me, you know, and I just tell it like it is. I'm thinking that we just kind of got to grow ourselves, you know. I always say we got some little balls. You know, but we got to grow ourselves. I know everybody shakes their head when I say that, but I mean, hey, I tell the facts, man. You know, I tell stories my way.
You're keeping it real.
I tell stories his way.
That's right.
I'm just real with it. Yeah. You know, I know opposition. Y'all know, hey, look, I'm not going to be prim and proper. Yeah. I'm just going to tell it like it is, you know.
Bob is a revolutionary. Hey, what can I say? Stokely Carmichael.
Militant.
Oh, Lord.
Stokely Carmichael.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with being a militant. I mean,
that's right.
You know, we're talking about dismantling something that's been in place, a type of thinking which is difficult to eradicate.
Mm-hmm.
It's been in place for over 400 years. Like, We have white people that are fighting it. It's hard. It's going to be difficult to erase this type of thinking because it's permeated throughout society, even in the kids, even in black kids' minds. We have to deconstruct white supremacy.
Right. Well, hey, Neo, man, thank you for calling into the Bobby Eaton Show, man. I'm pretty sure we're going to have plenty more conversations like this one, you know, and all the information that you've given us. Hey, Black Wall Street Times, you guys Google it.
That's right.
You know, and
I love that name.
Yeah, Black Wall Street Times.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right, man. I'll talk to you later.
You guys have a good night.
All right. Thank you.
Another young, upstanding millennial leader right there.
Right, in the community.
In the community,
yeah.
That's right.
Passionate. Well, I love this platform because we broadcast all over the globe. We're all over the world right now. Got a lot of listeners listening in and people calling in. And, you know, information is power.
It is.
Right.
It's just power.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
You know, and we tell our stories our way here. Mm-hmm. I don't sugarcoat it for nobody.
Yeah. Hey, that's why you're not diabetic, because you don't sugar.
Yeah. Hey, no sugar coating.
You got
no,
the sugars.
That's nobody, right. You ain't got the sugar.
And I agree with that, too, Mr. Bobby, that we have to be honest and open.
Yeah, we do.
And straightforward.
The time is now.
You know, we danced around it long enough.
Yes.
You know,
right.
Our feet are hurting, so we're tired of dancing.
Yeah,
so.
We're tired. We tell you now.
That's right.
Yeah. We got a few more minutes left up on it, but do you think racism will just more or less go on the incline up, or do you think a decline?
I believe racism.
You think we're gonna have more of it?
Racism is like water; it's gonna be here till time is up.
And I think what has transpired now is the fact that where it was so sublime and hidden.
Yeah.
Now, you know, Trump has it where there's no shame in their game.
Yes.
They are coming out and holding torches like they're trying to go up, like I said before, Frankenstein's house. They're getting ready to bust them out, right? Yeah. But it is bringing out, and I think I won't be surprised if some of those that are in the KKK, that are white supremacists, like you said, Mario, they're always going to be here.
Yeah.
But there's always one in the bunch that the light just might go off.
Yeah.
And say, you know, what are we doing?
And actually, that's funny that you said it because I've ministered and had people around me that were actually in white supremacy groups that actually saw the light and saw the errors of their ways. And so it's possible for that to happen. But I do believe that you will have copycats.
Yeah.
When it comes to the events,
you'll also have liars like Sessions.
Yeah.
Sessions is a liar. He's going on TV talking about racism is so bad. You one of the biggest racists.
Yeah.
You know, in right along with Bannon in the administration right now.
Yeah, that's true.
So you know, nothing you say will ever convince me that you have a change of heart.
Yeah.
You can just see it. Like I said, even with the speech that he read today. You could see it in Trump's whole demeanor. He meant none of that.
Yeah.
Those were just words spewing out of his mouth.
You know what the arrogance about
very much
the president is that he know that we picked up on his ingenuine attitude, and he doesn't care.
And he doesn't care.
That's the sad thing.
Like he did
it
on purpose. I want you to know that.
I want you to know.
I don't really care about this, but I'm going to say it because I'm your president.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I was
once did he rebuke David Duke when David Duke said, we white people put Trump in office.
Well,
he
can't rebuke what's true.
He can't rebuke what's
true. Right.
He told him the truth. He's like, you weren't supposed to say that in front of everybody.
That's probably what he called him to him. Man, why'd you say that?
Come on, man. You know, you out there bad, brother.
You know I got you. But I
will say the millennials, I do believe that white and black, Hispanic or whatever color, millennials are having a change of thinking, as radical as it might be. But it's going to take some radical thinking and some revolutionary thinking to change what has been going on since the beginning of time. You know, this has been biblical times. I tell people all the time that one of the reasons why I'm a pastor, one reason why Moses' wife was not liked because she was of African descent.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And Moses' brother and sister Aaron and Miriam said, we don't like her, and it's because she was of African descent. So it's been going on for years.
Man, I'm going to start packing my pistol, man.
Oh, God.
These white folks ain't gonna bother, Bobby.
So I have a question.
I'm just talking, y'all.
I have a question.
What you got?
For us.
What's the question?
Now, in the event that Peach does, I'm not Peach, Trump does get impeached.
Hey, that's a good name for him, Peach.
In the event, Trump does get impeached. Now, I know that there has been some friendship, some relationship that's been severed because they were emboldened because of this president. In the event that he does get impeached, those people that y'all have severed ties with, they're going to calm down a little bit.
When they say, my bad.
Do y'all accept them back in your life with open arms?
Well, since you asked me that, let me go first, Bobby, because you're going to blow it up.
I'm going to tell y'all thing as we come to the end of our show. We got a minute and something.
Let's
seconds
hear it,
left.
Mario. What you do?
Real fast.
Okay. Because of my ministry, I have to forgive him.
Right.
Yeah. I have to forgive everyone and walk in forgiveness. And but I tell you what, it says forgive, but I won't forgive.
Right.
Okay, great, great. Okay. Well, look here. We've had a great time here on the show talking about this. Yay. Yeah. Thanks to all of our guests and panelists. Yeah. And want you to continue listening to the Bob Eaton Show.
That's right.
That's every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 6 p.m.
And noon on Saturday, from noon to 2 on Saturday. And let's not forget about Thursday, the Juice
Radio Show.
That's right. Young
All right.
It their
Until
way.
The next time, you guys have a good one, okay?